ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I'm Jo Trilling, and this is Roots and Shoots, ABC Radio Perth's gardening podcast with new episodes twice a week. It's the gardening show for green thumbs and aspiring horticulturalists alike. And while Sabby is away, I think she's in Tassie, if I can recall correctly, you get the wonderful company of Mark Tuchek this afternoon. G'day, Mark.
Jo, thank you for having me.
You have walked in with the most incredible array of plants, which we will try and get into in a moment, but the phones have already taken off, so we should get into answering some gardening questions first. Excellent. Mark, lovely to have you in the studio, and Carol has got a question for you. Good afternoon, Carol.
Hello. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
I need to move two old citrus trees, a lemon tree and an orange tree. They're pretty old. Can I move them now? And I know it's probably not the right time of the year, but yeah.
Is now a good time, Mark?
Yeah, you can move them now because citrus aren't deciduous. So the best time to move deciduous fruiting trees is in winter. But with citrus, you can actually move them now. The main thing you want to do is try and keep them damp at all times during the transplant. Try and take as much of the root ball as you physically can muster, and make sure you do improve the soil in the new planting hole. So,
Carol, that's good news.
Yep, so you can do
that's
it now.
That's terrific news. Okay, thank you very much.
Are they very well established? Are they large?
They're over 20 years old, and they probably have a trunk about 20 centimetre diameter.
Right, okay.
So they're fairly old. So
Mark might have some more advice for you.
Well, you probably want to reduce the canopy a little bit, so don't go more than a third, because if you prune them really hard, you'll be without fruit for quite a few years until they recover. So don't give them a hard prune, but just keep the roots moist.
Okay, good luck with that. It's absolutely worth hanging on to those beautiful old plants, isn't it, Mark? If, 20-year-old citrus trees Carol's got, you don't want to lose them.
For sure, yes.
G'day, Kevin.
Hello there. Hello, Mark.
Hello.
I'm in Bridgetown. I've got pig-faced cactuses, not the ones with fingers, leaves as thick as your finger, those little ones that have hundreds of bright pink, bright yellow flowers and stuff like that on them.
Yes.
And the flowers die off.
Yes.
Should I individually cut 800 flowers off them, the dead flowers, so it grows better the next year, or should I just get a hedger out and trim them off?
No, you'll be there forever. And really, if you don't trim them at all, they'll just shrivel up and die anyway. They might look a little bit unsightly now that they're turning brown and deteriorating. But, you won't have to trim them at all, so just leave them.
Oh, that's good news for Kevin.
Yeah, easy done.
You're telling him he doesn't have to go out there and do all the work.
There's no hard work involved with those kind of pig faces.
Fantastic. And Mark, Jack and Peter have been very patiently waiting, so we need to get to their calls. Jack, you've got an issue. I think you're in Carnarvon. Something's eating your tree. Tell us what's going on.
I've got a couple of protons. One's cutting off the big one. Well, I think they're protons. I'm not a prolific gardener. But it's a leafy plant, doesn't flower, beautiful dark red and green leaves, grows about a metre high, and something is chewing all the leaves and they go dry and brown, and where you touch where they've been eaten, they're crumbly. Ooh. I'd like to know what's doing it and what can I do to stop it.
Okay. So do you think you have a protea? Is it a protea you've got?
I think it is.
Okay. So if you've got just a coloured one that doesn't flower, it might be a leucodendron or something like that. And presently there's some really big grasshoppers out and about. Have you seen them?
Are they up in Carnarvon as well? There was one at our garden the other day. I heard it before I saw it. I heard this and I thought, what on earth? And it was the ginormous grasshopper. Have you seen them, Jack?
We do get them up here, but they're not here at the moment.
Oh, okay. They blend in very easily, but they're as big as birds kind of thing too. So, and they do a lot of damage. And, of course, when the leaves that they do chew, they won't recover. But, that's the only thing with that. Actually, seeing the actual picture of the plant, it's a bit tricky for me to...
Yeah, Jack, if you've got a phone, a smartphone, and you can take a photo of the plant and text it through, that might help Mark figure out exactly what's going on.
Yes.
Peter, I think your lawn needs a bit of love. Is that right?
More than a bit, unfortunately.
Yeah.
At Rolleystone, we'd given it lots of love a couple of years ago, and we've had rotary hoes before we put it down. We had a rotary hoe and put a layer over some of the ironstone to try to do our best. I've just found out that Christmas is at our place again.
Oh, okay. What's the date?
So I haven't been pre-warned and tendering it with love and care. The biggest issue is a tree on the north side, which is keeping it in shade over the winter days. And so it was originally Zoysia when we put the turf down a couple of years ago, and which was the second time round. Now trying to weed, feed and recover.
Yeah, Zoysia will. Zoysia actually loses its colour very dramatically during winter. And the fact that it's in the shade, it's not helping the situation as well. So to help it recover, unless you can, I don't know, get the light up, so either prune some branches up to let the light in, that'll certainly help it. They respond very well to fertiliser this time of the year because it's starting to warm up. I would put a wetting agent on, a good balanced fertiliser. You know, if you're really going to panic, you can put a high nitrogen fertiliser on it, which is a bit like eating a Mars bar.
Fast acting. I mean, Peter, you're on the clock, aren't you? Because what is it, about 4 weeks? Is it 4 weeks till Christmas? That's actually freaking me out. Hopefully it's a bit longer, but you do need to act fast.
I would do that.
Yes, I was considering bringing new turf in and starting again.
Oh.
We had thinned the out, but I'm still in strife over that. And so we'll just... Sabrina had said there's a ground cover that is pretty tough that can combine with lawns.
Well, not within the 4 weeks to Christmas.
No.
So that's a tricky bit. No, I would go with a wetting agent and go with a high nitrogen fertilizer and make sure you water it in well and just pray.
Pray to the gardening gods. And to the text line for a moment, Bill in Currumbine has got a row of lily pillies. We've got quite a few lily pilly questions, actually, on a verge. And after 5 years, the ones facing south are growing well, but the ones facing west have not grown as well, and one is about only 1 metre high. What could the issue be, and what does he need to do to fix it?
Yeah, that's the thing. So in Currumbine, you're by the coast, the soil's pretty poor and alkaline, and west facing, you get the hot afternoon summer sun, so you get the full bore of the heat and everything like that. The fact that this one's a little bit stunted is I just concentrate on that one, probably look at where the trunk meets the ground to make sure there's no extra mulch up against that particular one, and the soil can vary just within that 1 metre as well too. So you can get dry patches, especially this time of the year. It starts to dry out after our rains. So I'm a fan of wetting agents. And, just
give the little one a little more love. Is that what you're saying?
Give the little one a little bit more love and don't worry about the big ones.
Okay, good luck with that, Bill. And just sticking on the lily pilly theme for a moment, Karen wants to grow some new small lily pillies into a standard shape. Should she prune them early or wait until they're the desired height?
Okay, so the way to prune a standard is you've got to get a main leader, so you've got to let that grow tall and straight, and you want to take off every little side shoot as soon as it starts to jump out the side. So start trimming straight away, and by trimming the side shoots, it puts all the energy into developing a straight shoot. Once it gets to the height that she wants, that's when you start trimming out the main leader and helping it bush out, and you can start to round it up after that. So
fantastic.
Trim it straight away.
Gordon's in Bibra Lake. If you've got a question for Mark, 1300 222 720. G'day, Gordon. What's going on at your place?
G'day. Look, I've planted a number of punnets of tomato seedlings in small pots. I planted them in regular potting mix, and I have put in a generous handful in each pot in the soil of tomato and vegetable dynamic lifter. And I haven't planted them. I know they like morning sun, but everywhere in our place seems to get baked. So I thought I was being smart by planting them on our patio, but they do get filtered afternoon sun. But they've all gradually, apart from about three or four, withered and died. Is it possible that the veggie and tomato dynamic lifter is too strong for seedlings, or is it the lack of direct morning sunlight that's possibly done them in?
Right, I think you're on the right track there, and your gut instinct. So seedlings are very susceptible. You know, they're kind of young, they're little babies, and even with fertilizer, because if you buy a good quality potting mix, it's already got the fertilizer in it. So I wouldn't even add extra fertilizer. And if you're going to add fertilizer, I'd probably add half a teaspoon.
Oh, has Gordon overloved his little tomatoes?
You can kill things with kindness.
Oh, Gordon, so, yeah. Gordon, you've been too attentive.
Yeah, so in little pots, it's really concentrated. So like a little half a teaspoon in those small pots would have been more than enough. But I wouldn't even done it at all, and I just left it with a good quality potting mix.
And so does Gordon need
I've
to go
got
back?
Four more punnets to plant, so and they are all growing really, really well. And these ones initially, you know, like tripled in size in no time, and then just all of a sudden, it didn't help that where they got an overflow from some gutters when we had one of those last big deluges, and everything just got flooded. So
got drowned.
I don't know, but yeah, I'll take your advice. Thank you very much. It's appreciated.
No worries.
Good luck with them, because you want the tomatoes to feast on. And let's go to the text line for a moment. Jenny would like to know, should she prune spent blooms off her, is it Conostylis.
Conostylis.
You
were so close.
Can you tell I'm not a horticulturalist? Conostylis.
So Conostylis is a little native plant with little yellow pom-pom flowers. And after they finish flowering, they just kind of shrivel up and go a bit brown. They look a little bit ugly, but, you know.
I've got them in my garden.
There you go.
And, yeah, when they're in flower, they're stunning, but mine have all gone just like yours, Jenny. Nice and brown and kind of droopy, a little droopy.
But then they're so tough, you know, so even if you did nothing to them, they'll just sort it out themselves. If it bothers you, Jenny, and you're finding that you can't walk past without looking at the dead flowers, you can chop them off if you want to.
Will that improve the growth for the following year? Because they kind of go a bit dormant, don't they? And then, boom, at this time of year, they all, well,
correct.
About a month ago.
Yeah, a little bit. So they respond very well to, you know, our winter rains, and this is the time of the year that we're flowering. But really tough plants. Everyone should have them in their garden. They're fantastic.
Okay.
And so yours will actually grow a lot better when you call them the right name. So there you go.
Did not know what they were called, but have got them in the garden.
Conostylis.
Conostylis, Jenny. So that sounds like not necessary to prune them. You could just leave them, but if it's bothering you, aesthetically pleasing, give them a trim.
Sure.
Fantastic. Somebody has got an issue with their agave. It does not look very happy. The fleshy green part is what is going on. It almost looks like a painting. In a way, it's quite beautiful. Mark, what's happening here?
Oh, well, there you go. So it is beautiful. But what's happening here is agaves, because they've got fleshy leaves, they're really prone to snail attack, and also little tiny snails won't eat through the leaves, but they kind of graze on the surface. And when they graze on the surface around the edge, they cause that tissue to die, and when it dies, it starts to deteriorate and goes brown. So those particular leaves aren't going to recover. It'll only be the new leaves that come out this time of the year that will be good. So watch out for small snails, and because they get down into the, you know, the crevice.
Yeah, they hide.
They do. They're good at
little buggers.
I know. That's what they're good for.
So what should this person do in North Perth? Actually, cut off that part of the plant.
They will. Those leaves won't recover, so they're going to look ugly for a while. So they can, you know, follow the leaf back to the stem and chop the leaf off there. And it could be in a pot too, that agave too. So make sure it's not being overwatered. They're pretty tough things.
Get rid of the snails.
Look after themselves and just get out there at night and just lop them over the fence.
And they're just somebody else's problem.
Well, when they're tiny, you know, no one can see them. So you just chuck them over the fence.
Oh, and then they get bigger. Ooh, snails, snails, snails. Now, Troy is in Two Rocks. What's going on with your palm, Troy?
Yeah, afternoon, guys. Look, I've got a big cardboard palm that I've been gifted that's in a pot. It's a Zemia furfuracea.
Yes.
It's about 1.8 metres high and filled right out. It's been in there a long time, and it looks like it's had pups come off the side of it. I just wonder about splitting it out. Is it? Am I able to cut those off the side, or does it need to be transplanted whole?
No, you can cut them off the side. So Zemia palms are quite forgiving, and those cardboard ones are quite unusual. They're very thick leaves, structured leaves, excellent in pots. They're really slow growing, tend to look after themselves. So if you want to propagate some more, you can actually just make a little slice or incision in the trunk of where the pup is, and then just put a bit of potting mix around it, and then that'll help develop its own roots from the mother plant, and then when you've got some roots on there, then you can slice the whole thing off and then transplant that out.
Okay. Mm. No worries. No, because there's quite a few coming off it. So, great. All right. Thanks so much for your help.
No worries.
Cheers.
See you, Troy. Happy propagation. On the text line, Mark, Ruby, who's in Osborne Park, would love some tips for growing Swiss cheese plants. She says mine are stunted, black leaves. The leaves are not glossy. They don't seem to be growing very well at all. She repotted it in June. It's inside with indirect sunlight. She is promising that she's not overwatering. Does she give it away as a lost cause, or do you think she can get her Swiss cheese back and happy?
See, the fact that she's promising she doesn't overwater it
makes
means
you think she's overwatering it.
Okay. So Swiss cheese plants are monsteras. They've got the very highly developed lobed leaves. Repotting it in winter was not a good idea because they're not actively growing. And, you know, the potting mix deteriorates, you know, in that time. The best time to repot them is now, going into the warm weather. So, you know, I'm going to say have another go repotting it. Black leaves are the result of overwatering and underwatering, the two biggest causes of indoor plant death. I would suggest it's still overwatering because, you know, you really need to let them, just stay damp and not wet. So I would repot it now and not in June, and it still needs a very bright, well-lit position. If you've got to put it in give it a spell outside and under the patio and let it recover, and then bring it back inside when it's looking good.
Okay, so there's still hope yet.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Mary in Thornley wants to add weeds to a bin of water. Is the resulting liquid okay on native plants? Is that what you mean, Mary? Add weeds to a bin of water? I'm so confused. Does that make sense to you?
Is there supposed to be a D in there?
Oh, maybe. Well, deeds to a bin of water? I'm confused. My brain's not working.
Or you take the D out.
Oh, she wants to add wee to a bin of water.
I don't know.
Mary, do you want to wee in water and then add it to your plants? I'm not sure. You're going to have to get back in touch, Mary. You've confused us completely.
I know. That's a bit tricky.
While Mary gets back in touch, Deborah would like to know, what is the best type of wetting agent to use for a coastal native garden in Coogee, granular or liquid? I think that's a far easier question to answer.
It is an easy question. So
we're off the urine.
off weeing in the garden. You're supposed to do that at night time when there's a full moon. But, wetting agents, the granular ones are more slower acting and liquid ones are quicker acting. So I use both. And so, you know, when I'm really aware of a plant drooping and, there seems to be water going on, liquid wetting agent's great. That helps rectify it straight away. But a slower release granular one through the warm months is beneficial too.
And that, you know, she's been specific about a coastal native garden in Coogee. Still the same applies?
Same applies, yeah.
So fantastic.
Yep.
Nicola has discovered a bug on her chestnut flower tree blossoms. Please help. She's in Witchcliff. Please, please help, she says. There's quite a few bugs there. Beetle-y type bugs. My goodness.
Oh.
Infested, one could even say.
They are, but they could be weevils, but whether they're a bad guy or not, because they could be helping pollinate, I don't know, unless there's some damage being done. So I don't know. I mean, the fact that there's a lot of them, it's because it's in flower, but I'm not sure if they're a bad...
We need an entomologist.
I know. We need, Daryl should be looking at these pictures. You know, Daryl Hardy?
Yeah.
So, I'm not sure the name of that bug, but I'll do some homework, and because it may not be a bad guy. So,
Nicola, we're going to have to come back to you. There are a lot of them on that chestnut tree blossom. Are they good? Are they bad? We are not sure. It is 10 to 3 on 720 ABC Perth and WA. Mark at Tuchek in the studio. If you have got a question for him, the number you need, 1300 222 720. Always best to call. Then we can ask follow-up questions and hopefully come to a good answer. I think we have got a little more info. You know how we were getting stuck with Mary in Thornley's issue? Was she wanting to wee in a bucket? Want to wee on her plants? Chris says, weeds in a bucket of water, if you let them brew, become weed tea and then can dilute as liquid fertilizer. Is he onto something there?
Oh, well, a lot of those things, once they're composted, compost teas are very beneficial for the garden and can be used on most plants, in even native plants, in weak solutions, you can do that. But, yeah, I think if they were composted first, not used as green, obviously.
Fantastic. Yeah. Okay, let's head to Albany. Good afternoon, Sue. What's going on?
Hey, how are you going? I've got quite a few comfrey plants and one just flowered. What do I do with them? I've heard you can make compost or make tea with them and put them on your garden.
Well, you can. Yeah, you can too. So, comfrey leaves are very good at when they break down. They're very good at helping in compost piles. You know, they help introduce microorganisms into the soil and things like that. The flowers are magnets for blue banded bees and things like that. So when they flower, they're great in the garden. So comfrey's a great plant to have in your garden for sure.
Can you cut the leaves off and put them in water and make tea out of it to fertilise your garden?
Oh, it won't be. Again, it's not a fertiliser unless it's composted with other things. So by itself, no, I don't think it would be beneficial for your garden.
Okay. Carol's in Busselton, and I think she's got a question for you about a mango tree. Good afternoon, Carol.
Oh, good afternoon. How are you?
Good.
Mark, I've got a mango tree about 1.5 metres high.
Yep.
I think it might have little mangoes coming on it. They're the little, as big as your little fingernail.
Okay.
My question is, can I take it out of the ground and put it in a large bag or a pot, please? Moving house.
Oh, you're moving house. You can transplant it. Again, when you go off to your local garden centre, make sure you buy a premium potting mix. So that's a bag. It's got a red logo with 5 white ticks on it.
Yep.
You may end up losing the fruit because if you stress the plant at all during the transplant, they'll just drop off and put energy back into growing. But they should be able to transplant, especially if it's only a metre and a half high.
And make sure I get all the roots, or can I cut some off if it's too big?
It won't have a lot of roots on it for that height, so try and take as much as you can, but use a good quality potting mix and not the soil. Yep.
Okay, lovely.
Good luck with that, Carol. Mark, you brought in this incredible array of plants. We haven't even got time to go through them.
That's okay.
So everybody's just going to have to imagine these natives that are edible, tucker bush, delicious, very, very enticing.
And they're great pollinators because we just had National Pollination Week And so I bought them in to jazz up the studio. But so many native plants are great for attracting pollinators into your garden to help with all the bad bugs that you've got. So there's a good array here. And we'll talk about it next time if you like. So.
Oh, yes, you'll be here next week.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic. Great to chat. Thanks for all your help, Mark Tuchek. Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Tuesdays from 2:30 in the afternoon. Just head to abc.net.au/Perth, or you can listen to ABC Perth on DAB Plus or 7:20 a.m. on your radio. You can text your questions in on 0437 922 720, or call us, have a chat, 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back on the weekend to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on your favourite podcast player and share the episodes with your friends.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.